Welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. This is part two of a special set of episodes. Binging with Ben, we're going over season four of NYPD Blue. So if you have the time, go and listen to part one, because it'll make this part make a whole lot more sense. A couple things to talk about and apologize for. We had some weird noise interference in the middle of this episode. One of them was completely my fault. I had to adjust the mic in the middle of our conversation, and I didn't just cut the conversation to fix it. I just fixed it in the middle of talking. The other one, I am not 100% sure what it is. I think it has something to do with the water in the place we were recording, but I assure you, you can still hear us over those noises. So thanks for sticking it out. Thanks again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls. I hope you have a happy holidays. I hope you celebrate whatever you celebrate with people you love and have a good time and you be good to yourself and others. I'll talk to you at the end of the episode and have a good one. Peace.
Was there, again, it's been a while, was there any insults, comments, and I have here on weight, race, gender, orientation, that was particularly insulting or funny to you that you can remember? We talked about the Jerry stuff.
And I didn't mention Metavoy's wall. I just weighed myself. And that's even before I went to the bathroom.
Yeah, like just weird shit like that. But
it's just like how Metavoy's vice is peanut butter.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, a lot of kind of like health people, they use peanut butter as an added protein.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, why are you complaining that you're eating so much peanut butter? Why are you stress eating peanut butter?
It also could have been like a latest fad thing for the 90s, because I mean, I don't know what food was up to it then, but just the idea of, they're like, well, peanut butter's bad, so then we got to talk about peanut butter in the show, but I don't know.
I would say one of my favorite ones was when they arrest the rapper. What was his name again?
Daddy Cool.
Daddy Cool, yes. And his agent comes in. And I forgot the whole dialogue, but Sipowitz ends and is like, and you got a stupid looking tie. And he just leaves on that.
That's a stupid bow tie. And Simone was just like, good, I thought we weren't going to leave here without everybody having a problem with us. Because he just insults everybody there. One thing that stuck out to me that I now remember, the episode where Sipowitz has to sit with refugees.
Right.
Who are shitting out drugs.
They're mules. They have the balloons in them, and he has to wait for them to get out.
And he has a conversation with one of these guys who was just like, I wanted to come to America for a woman. This was the only way I could get here. I don't have any money. I wasn't going to cause any other trouble. I just wanted to live here and work.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy next to him dies with drugs in his stomach.
And then he finishes up with, welcome to America.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's where the episode ends.
Yeah, and that was also the episode where a gentleman, American Army vet, bought a Russian bride who he then murdered because she was cheating on him and wanted a divorce. So it's like a really intense look at immigrants, refugees that come into America by crazy mm-hmm. means and then get screwed over by the process of trying to get here. I remember watching that and I was like, man, it's... But that episode also has the scene where Sipowitz is just getting all upset and all angry, and Simone just takes out the camera and takes a picture of him. He's like, don't get testy. The show always finds a way to take those moments and make them
mm-hmm.
have some levity. But
now, my question for you, mm-hmm. since that was more of a little bit of a darker episode with the murdering and everything, out of all these, I felt like we've had a lot of dark cases in this whole season.
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you feel like really just messed you up? Which was kind of really dark, too much for you, to a certain degree?
The one is Paris Burning with the super who gets cut up.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't the case, because I hated the guy that played the actual murderer. Because the ones where the guy who is the killer has a really good interview,
mm-hmm.
like the one where, I forgot his name, but he had the big glasses and he was super obsessed with this porn actress, and then that woman looked like the porn actress.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was a good one because, like, that's a believable character. And scary because he's like, you don't have anything on me. You got nothing, so I'm not gonna... And then they eventually annoy him to telling the truth. But that one was so messed up because Richard Schiff, who played the super, was like, I'm very scared. This guy is going to kill me if he gets out. There's no question. He's a violent man. I watched a horrible thing occur. And then the guy gets out, kills him, and cuts him up into pieces, and they find him in the act of doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And that episode specifically, because Andy was at such a rage, it looked like he was going to kill that dude.
I remember you and Kyle were talking about that. Like, what did you think?
Like, I was like, it got very close to being like, oh, he's going to murder this guy in the apartment. And then we're going to have to deal with IAB talking about that and what's happening with Bobby.
Just plant a knife. Self-defense.
Like, yeah.
They didn't have body cams.
No body cams.
They're fine.
I'm trying to... Because there's so many episodes a season, it's kind of...
To answer my own question, while you're taking time.
Mm.
I would say it'd be... Mine was that one, too, until I saw the last episode, where it was the case with the psychologist.
Yeah.
That one was really messed up, and how even when they were talking with him, he's like, well, I'm here of my own accord. He's like, oh, really? You are? Okay. Tell us, what did you guys talk about? Did you guys talk about the rape? Her dad was abusing her and everything. He's like, oh, and that turned you on, right? And everything. And you find out, like, just how psychologically messed up the psychiatrist is, and how he killed her by pouring the Drano down her throat.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, dear God.
I saw another one. This season also has Ted and Carrie's Bogus Adventure, where four prep school students rape a drunk, black, retarded girl, and then she kills herself.
Yeah.
That, I think I had a question about it, I just hadn't seen it yet. That episode is so crazy because it was something where I was like, this is happening.
Like, it still happens today.
Yeah, like, it's happening, and, like, the way this woman is like, well, you're going to do something about this, right? And, like, I'm just sitting there like, there's nothing you can do.
Because there's no evidence.
There's, like, there's nothing you can do. And you're only making it worse for your daughter, and you're only making it worse for yourself. And then when you see the councilman, and it happens mm-hmm. to be that same councilman that was hiding at that one thing, and you find out he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
It was a very hard episode. Because, not because of the character of the girl, but because it's like, there are dudes like this. They just exist.
Yeah, Brock Turner.
Yeah, like, they just exist. They can live their life.
And it's a little bit like Knives Out. Have you seen that movie yet?
Not yet, no.
Not going to spoil it.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say any names of characters.
I have a feeling it's Chris Evans' character.
I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going with it.
Just by, like, one scene I saw of him. It sounds like
But it. There's a point where they try to murder one of the other housemaids.
Mm-hmm.
And the person that did it said, oh yeah, so what? You don't have evidence pointing me towards killing the old guy. Everything points to suicide. At best, you have me at attempted murder right now with the housemaid.
Mm-hmm.
And I can lawyer up and I'll get out of it with, like, maybe community service.
Mm-hmm.
And that is prevalent in our society. You see people, if you have enough money, you can make anything go away.
Anything at all.
Especially Epstein.
Especially current people in political power. It was a dark episode. And it's one of those things where the speech that Sylvia gives, Mrs. Sipowicz,
mm-hmm.
it's so great and yet so empty, because it's the entire point of the speech is, none of what I'm telling you matters. But I get a chance to say it to your face.
Mm-hmm.
It was so good, but also so empty, because you get to the end of it and you're like, well, she's right. Like, what? It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Like, these kids are going to grow up to be assholes who do whatever they want. And their
and
parents
become president.
Yeah, so it does not matter. Yeah, that one hit me hard. I think there was another one.
I felt like out of all seasons, this one has been pretty hard-hitting compared to the last couple.
Yeah, there's...
It's like they finally found their stride and, like, okay, we can push the envelope a little bit more. We don't have to be risky by showing off ass.
Yeah, not as much.
We can be risky.
It's almost like the seasons before, they had moments where it was like, holy shit, but then it would come back down. This one just kind of kept it up around the same high.
It's like, here we are, let's see if we can go a little bit further higher.
And just keep the medium at that point.
Transvestites, let's talk about them.
That was so weird how progressive and non-progressive it was at the same time.
It's like one minute Andy's cool with them, the next one's like, don't touch me.
I feel like there's a lot of people out there who our first thought is to make fun of them, call them bigots or whatever, but I think there's a lot of people that feel the way Andy does, which is like, live and let live, but it confuses and scares me. Like, I'm not sure. I'm not going to lie about it. I'm not going to pretend I'm cool with what you're doing. I don't care. Don't want to know.
Don't bring it on me.
Yeah, and
you do you, I'll do me.
Yeah, we'll just be ourselves.
And yeah. Even they were trying it with Bobby.
Hell yeah, they were. Peaches and... Oh, what's her name?
Well, Peaches is the one that gets murdered, right?
Yeah. Peaches and...
I forgot the other one.
Yeah. Angela. Peaches and Angela.
But I do like how they came up. How they came up more than once.
And I also loved how that storyline where Peaches... Angela? I think it's Angela who died.
Angela reported the boyfriend, right?
Yeah. That's a great episode because... It's a dude struggling with his own sexual identity, or his sexual preference, not his identity. Because he's a man. He's a man's man. But his preferences are questionable, because in his mind, Angela's a woman,
mm-hmm.
but she is a man in physiology.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't deal with that in his head, and... Because he's a violent person, he reacts violently and then murders her. But it was a very strange performance from that guy, because it was, like, really up and down.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, you're sympathetic, but you're not, because you did murder her. Like, you didn't... Like, we can't really see it your way when you've murdered the person. It was almost like the writers were like, we can make a statement here, but we're going to make a lot of jokes about him. Like, make no mistake.
But we'll put the same in at the very end, so it makes it all work.
Yeah, because there was a lot of moments where it was like, oh, I'm glad you're calling her a her. It's like, oh, I don't give a shit what's under her dress as long as they're not touching me. And you're like, okay, well, you know, that's slightly progressive there, Sipowitz, but...
Coming from what's the ethnicity that he is? I forgot. Polak, right.
Yeah, he's Polish. Because this season also has, if I remember correctly, where a black girl forgives Sipowitz.
It was...
The death of Quasi.
Quasi, yes.
And then his daughter forgives him.
Because if you look back on the episode, it was Quasi that he called...
The M-word.
Yes.
One sec.
And the thing is that makes that episode so good is that she doesn't know everything behind it. She's got the child naivete. But the mom is the one that said, no, don't forgive this man. He called your father this. He is a terrible person.
Mm-hmm.
And at a point, it's, why are you telling your child what to believe and what to think?
Yeah.
Because you're not only bringing in segregation or discrimination, but you're teaching her to hate people already with that.
It's also, it was a real good way to bring up Sipowitz's past and talk about his present. And show his growth, but also show that he has a lot of work to do at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Because that episode is, okay, we now have a character that he had the run-in with. This is the run-in that's preventing him from getting a promotion. Because, mm-hmm. like, basically, everybody in the department knows he had an issue with this guy. So then, this woman comes in with her daughter. They have a rapport with the daughter. Like, the daughter was really cool with them. They didn't do anything, like, inappropriate in front of her. And then, like you said, the mom says, remember who this man is.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sipowitz recuses himself every time the mom's around, basically.
He does.
And then at the end of the episode, he's like, look, I wanted to say I apologize for whatever pain I caused. Turns out your dad was a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the mom is the one that says, just remember that's the man that called your dad the N-word. And he's like, don't tell her that. And then, it's like the daughter could see that he feels bad, and she offers the forgiveness, and right after Sipowitz takes it, he has a talk with Simone where he says a bunch of racist shit. Like, I don't know if you remember that conversation afterward.
But at least he's acknowledging it, he's trying to move towards it. He is.
It's a good way to show you he's gotten better, but he still has problems.
Right.
And... It's one of those things where, because on this show, I mean, not to talk about them directly, there are people that say that we beat over the idea that Sipowitz is racist way too much. We talk about him being prejudiced or racist too much, and we talk about that end. And one of our new reviews, we don't have many, but one of our new reviews says if they could change one thing every time Papa Ash is on, we wouldn't bring up the Sipowicz racism thing.
Mm-hmm.
We talk to him about other things. It's really a central theme to the show because he's the only character that sticks around.
Right, you have people coming and going. And as you ruined it for me, Simone dies.
He's not there the whole time.
You already said it in the previous episode, Kirk. You can't take it back.
He either leaves or he dies, and he's too big a character to have him just leave.
It's true.
The Andy Sipowicz dream sequences, where he meets Jesus Christ.
And his son.
How do you feel about those? Because that takes a very strange turn in the show.
And the thing is, they come as dream sequences, and he wakes up, and it's like, what did I just experience? What was this? What was that?
Is it real? Is it not real? Like, stuff like that.
I would say it was real.
Okay.
I would say that. I would say that that does help define who he is. I mean, other than trying to write in a couple more episodes for the son to be in it, because maybe they've got to put him in so many episodes and they killed him off too soon.
Yeah.
But
it is a good... I do wonder why they decided to do it.
I mean, maybe they reviewed his contract. They figure out, oh, you shorted me episodes. I need to be back in it.
Yeah, maybe.
No, I thought those were interesting. Didn't take away from me.
Okay.
But I liked how at the very end, it's like, good job, Daddy, pissed off Jesus.
Yeah, it's... Because coming from, we both went to a religious institution of higher learning.
This is true.
That's centered around a Judeo-Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
It was strange to... Because Sipowicz does have a spiritual journey as well as his, you know...
And you
struggles.
And you see him, like, even struggle with everything, because even when, before he married his wife, they're like, oh, I need to be part of this faith. I don't know. Like, that mm-hmm. whole situation. And you kind of see him, like, question his religion, and just religion in general. So the fact that that was in there kind of added a little bit more to, like, the character building for him.
Because, yeah, he has that big speech when he's going to marry Sylvia to the preacher, where he's like, I can't believe there's a God when he lets such terrible things happen to all these innocent people. And I've seen things that would make anyone question I do on a daily basis. Those dream sequences were very intense because of how deeply personal and strange they were. Because every time he meets his son, he has like a passive-aggressive argument about something. He meets the guys that killed his son. He, in essence, kills them. Big question mark quotes.
But it's like he's killing his son.
And then when he realized that that only hurts his son, then a guy who apparently is Jesus Christ goes like, by the way, you're done talking to your son now. This was your chance to talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, and it never happens again the rest of the season.
Huh.
So you're like, what was that about? But it does kind of break up the show in terms of the themes and whatnot.
Now, do you think that kind of indicates... I mean, if Jesus Christ is saying that, the Christ figure is saying, this is a lot, like, you're done talking to your son, does that mean Andy's not going to heaven? Does that mean, is it kind of like a Christmas Carol, since we are in the Christmas season now? Is it like Jacob Marley coming in and saying, hey, you need to change your ways?
Get some stuff together.
Yeah.
It was also if they are just dreams, he wakes up from the last one and then he immediately goes to... Theo, and kind of like goes, okay, I gotta be a better dad. I wasted a lot of moments with him. There's a lot to...
And a lot of time, because Andy Jr. was raised by his mom,
mm-hmm.
not Andy.
And they only got... Because we talked about it before, how sad it is. They got back together, they rekindled their relationship, then...
He dies.
Andy Jr. dies, and it's really, really sad. Yeah, this season also has the return of other characters, like... I think it's Sindino? The guy that takes over the Caulfield case mm-hmm. in that area. He's from previous episodes. Mike Roberts, who helps them out with a case, comes back
mm-hmm.
just to give them some information. And every time they do, there's a moment where they tell Andy how sorry they are for Andy Jr. They always go like, did you get my card? Did you hear about that? And the one person who he didn't get a card from was Mike Roberts, who he immediately doesn't believe actually sent one.
Yeah.
which is great. Is there anything that you remember about the podcast, me and Kyle, just getting completely wrong?
You know, I it was interesting this time around because I watched the episodes first and then listened to you guys. Because I did the opposite last time.
Okay.
Because I first listened to the podcast, like, oh man, I want to watch this. But there's no streaming services.
Yeah, yeah, and now it's right
there. Hulu. But then when I was traveling Italy, I downloaded it all on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you get the previously on NYPD Blue. No, I think you guys did a really good job wrapping up and just talking about everything on that, so.
All right, good. I did have a question, just to bring it up again. Do you love the baby?
I love the baby.
I'm just going to ask because I remember it now and it makes me angry. Tina's parents, the parents that told her to keep her awake. Do you remember this? Because the reason Lucy Liu shook the baby is because the baby's parents wanted the baby kept awake so that it would go to sleep at night. Because I have no intentions of having children. I've never been a big fan of children. But just at the... Because we talked about it in that episode. At the moment that I heard the parents say, we want to sleep at night so we keep the baby up.
No.
Yeah.
That is selfish as hell.
It was... I believe I said, right after I said the sentence, I was like, don't have kids. Don't have kids.
Simple.
If you want to be that selfish, don't have children.
Yeah. Because the first few months of life, they need to feed every 5 hours.
And every single parent will tell you. Like, I know a couple of them. I know young parents. I know old parents. I know my parents. They said, first couple months, you just don't sleep.
And it's true.
You get used to it. You figure out a way around it. But you just don't sleep. The idea of forcing this girl who's only taken the job because they paid for, like, her grandmother's medication. Like, that was the story.
Yeah.
I think I was filled with such rage over something I'd never been filled with before. And that kind of played into how do you think they treated minorities, immigrants, homosexuals. Because that was a traditional Chinese couple who probably the worst parents I've ever heard of.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's not a play on them being Asian parents. I think it's just more being parents in general. Unwanted parents. They didn't want a kid. They haven't had the kid.
Or they wanted the kid. They didn't want the responsibility of parenting.
Right.
It's like, I have a child. The child does what I want them to do. It was, I don't know. I brought it up because I was like, I just read it right now. It was more of a joke on I Love the Baby. Cause
I Love the Baby.
I don't that's something that Kyle does. He says things that catch like wildfire that I don't understand. Where it's like, that was...
No, you asked me the question, but does Kyle truly love the baby?
I think Kyle loves sound bites that he could repeat that he knows are funny but will make me slightly angry because it's derailing whatever I'm talking about.
So you're saying he loves the baby.
He loved the baby.
He loved the baby.
Lucy Liu, any other big names that you noticed this season off the top of your head that you were like, holy...
Like I said, it's been a while since I've seen them, so...
I wonder if I wrote... Damn.
Other than April O'Neil from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 and 3.
Oh, Ken Jenkins.
Ken Jenkins.
He's Kelso.
Yeah! He was in the... I remember when it... Yes, now I remember. Because you guys mentioned it on the podcast.
Yeah. He's
and when I saw that, I was like, who's got two thumbs and doesn't give a crap? Bob Kelso. I loved him in Scrubs.
He did a good job. Because... He was on Scrubs for a while, and I haven't watched every episode of Scrubs.
Oh, he's throughout the whole series.
And I know how he acts on Scrubs on the episodes I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
So when he shows up in this one, he's a guy, like, dying of Parkinson's. He's very crotchety and angry, but not funny. It's like...
Yeah. He's more of a loving figure in this, where he cares about his daughter. Because, like you said, in Scrubs, he's funny. He's crude to the point where he's maniacal to other people, mm-hmm. but you laugh at that.
Yeah.
Because you laugh at their pain. He's the one in pain, and he's just angry that he's in that much pain.
Yeah, he loves his daughter, but he's, like, tired of it. He's tired of how it's not changing. He's also... The character was different enough that for a half a second I didn't know it was him. Because usually the second he enters a room in Scrubs, it's like... We got a joke lined up, or a certain thing to set up.
Mm-hmm.
And in that one, he just, like, shows up like any of the other characters with a complaint, and you're just like, oh yeah, that's the guy from Scrubs.
Mm-hmm.
The woman that's on Scrubs, Turk's lady.
Yes, she was on there.
She was on there.
Because Oh, that's one of the first cases that the
James takes care of.
James, the delegate, has to take care of.
The guy with two wives.
Well, was it really his wife? I mean, he faked the papers and everything.
That was a great episode because it was...
I mean, we had a marriage, but it was really my cousin's birthday, so we had a whole thing. I paid a priest to be in it.
Because you're James. You're coming from the perspective of James. It's your job to take care of this. And every time you talk to this guy, the story changes. Because when he walks in by the third time, he's like, okay, so we planned a wedding, but it was an actor, and the papers are fake, and I bought a cake, and sure, I gave her a ring. And at that point, you're like, dude, fuck off. Like, you really screwed up.
Pretty much, you're going to go to jail for perjury right there.
Like, it's amazing to me that he didn't really keep his cool. By the end of the episode, he called him an asshole, and... It's like, as long as the department's not involved, I don't care. But the fact that he stuck around that long for it is like... At some point, you'd be like, screw it.
Let him go.
Like, let the department screw you over. I don't care. Like, you deserve it at this point. Okay, so the big topic of conversation. The biggie.
The big one. The one that you made me do.
The one that I was like... Because I got to that episode, I was like, I better tell Ben. But then I sat on it, and I was like, but a binger wouldn't.
Exactly, and that was really hard.
I was like, Binger wouldn't. He would immediately go to season 5.
But then I thought about it, too.
Until they solve it, and then he would chill for the podcast.
I remember when I saw that, I texted you, like, why do you tell me to do this, Kirk? Why do you hate me? Why do you gotta put me through this hell?
So, to put it in clear, plain English, because people listening may not understand, I told Ben not to go to season 5.
I had to stop on the last episode of season 4.
And the end of season 4 has an arc for Bobby with Joey Salvo, who is an old friend from the block, but not a friend, an acquaintance, who is into some shady dealings. And because he went over and talked to Bobby in this restaurant, the FBI want Bobby to basically get a favor from Joey. And then it spirals to a point where Bobby doesn't have a job anymore. IAB has suspended him.
Martens has been suspended, too.
Yeah, that was also... Because I said it before, I said it from the very beginning. Martens is an unsung hero of the show.
He is.
Because he's in all the time. And he just gets shit on all the time.
And yet he keeps going forward.
And he keeps doing his job. And he's not a bad guy.
Even though Sipowicz and other people may shit on him.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just doing my job, man.
Like another,
and he never gets defensive about it either.
That brought up another episode that struck me. The one where the officer, like he was a cop, Zorzi, I think his name was.
Mm-hmm.
He killed his own friend to get his laundering money and made up this whole story.
That Cubans or Puerto Ricans like took the van.
Like took his money and then drove off in this car that never existed. And... Martens was trying to get the interview done and Sipowicz was getting upset and Martens was eventually like, could you leave so we can get the job done, please? Like, I can understand why you're upset. I'm pretty upset too. I mean, this is not what I wanted to be doing with my day. Anyway, Martens, because Martens has to go at Simone,
mm-hmm.
where he straight up tells him, like, you're gonna have to tell me something. And Simone, because he has a good relationship with Martens, said, it's a situation, I'll leave it at that.
And he even threw back at something. He's like, you told me to learn one thing from every interaction I have with people.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned this from you. It's a situation, and I can't talk about it.
And he has to give pieces, which they think they have a... Like, the whole story is pretty intense. But the main deal is Simone got screwed over by the FBI.
Because they think there's a mole.
In IAB.
IAB.
IAB then suspends Martens to get the real mole to settle down, thinking that he's in the clear. Bobby, because, you know, Bobby, he's Batman. He doesn't take the shit lying down. He says, I'm going to go take a tape, and I'm going to go to Joey Salvo myself.
But before that, I'm going to have sex in this bathroom.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a question. Were there any crazy-ass sex scenes you were not prepared for?
I don't know.
I know that this episode does have... Or not this episode. This season does have the Sylvia gets naked and then sits in the most uncomfortable position possible. So Sipowicz covers up all of the nudity. Because she, like, takes off a robe and she's butt-ass naked. But then she has to, like, curve her body around Sipowicz's fat body. so that the camera won't see her nipples or her vagina.
And let me just say, for all listeners, Kirk just tried to reenact that pose.
I did.
Reenact it.
I did. Because I'm a showman. I take it very seriously.
It's very kinky.
But yeah, that scene is very nuts. Because there is... That scene is called back because there's a scene earlier in the season where Russell goes up to Simone and's like, I kind of want to bang you in this bathroom right now. And then he's like, I think we both should keep our jobs.
But and since he doesn't have a job...
then at the end of the season...
Everything's good, let's go!
At the end of the season, she says, lock the door. He locks the door, she's taking off her clothes, and he just... goes at it.
I mean, where's Metaboy telling people to get out? We need a Metaboy telling people to get out.
Oh, man, Metaboy. And he goes to meet with Salvo. Salvo gets shot on the side of the street.
And then you see Andy show up. Get rid of that tape, if you know what's good for you. And then it's like, Andy, what happened? It's like, just do it. And then Andy goes.
They have a full-on argument.
They're coming. I gotta go. Hide the tape.
Like, that's like the best part about it is Salvo goes down, shot a bunch, car whips around, it's Andy, and he's like, what's, and he's like, get out of here. And he's like, and Simone's like, what did you do? And he's like, I turned on Mulberry and this is what I saw. And he's like, what did you do? And he's like, you need to get out of here. And then they start screaming at each other. When it's like,
get rid of the tape!
And then, yeah, then Simowitz is like, you gotta get rid of the tape. Because now it doesn't matter. It does not matter what happened. That tape has to disappear. Mm-hmm. Or both of them are in trouble. And that's how the season ends.
Yeah.
And I told you to not watch it.
And what happens next, Kirk?
I know.
Now I understand what the people watch episodically have mm-hmm. to go through. Seasonally. Mm-hmm. You have to wait until the next season.
I also wanted to torture you a little bit.
And you saw how angry I got.
Because the second it happened, I was like, oh, yeah. They have a whole season before they tell you what goes on. That's awesome. He's going to be so pissed.
Wait, they don't tell me for a whole season?
Well, no. I mean, they wait a whole break to the next season.
I was like, oh, they're just going to glaze over on season 5 and then season 6. Oh, yeah. Back to the tape.
Yeah, it's nuts. I was so excited when I saw it. I was like, yes, we got our... Because all the other seasons ended with, like, not really any cliffhanger.
Yeah, I mean, season 3 wasn't that big of a cliffhanger.
It was kind of like, yeah.
I mean, they left Andy's son's death, like, a couple episodes before the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of gave you peace of mind, and then...
Yeah, he was kind of getting over the drinking, but it was like, that's still shaky. And then Simone and Russell were just like, you want to go on vacation?
Nah, how about we get married first?
Like, it was like, that's the end of season 3.
That was it?
So it's, yeah. I think season 2 was just Sipowitz's wedding.
Yeah.
So, like, that wasn't really a big cliffhanger, because it's like, okay, now they're married.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a good one.
It was.
Just boom. Are you excited for anything in season 5? Besides knowing what that is?
Other than knowing the tape. Does Gina make it back into season 5?
Yeah.
When do we get the best PA coming back?
I don't remember. That's the thing that I'm worried about now. Because I'm trying to remember if I have it wrong that he's not in as much as I thought he was. But I remember John being around a lot.
John was the best PA.
And John is the best. He's the best PA. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm going to have to tool it. I thought he was the best representation of a gay character. But I think Abby does a really good job. Mm-hmm. And her girlfriend. Because it was very like, look, we're people.
Right.
We have normal people jobs.
We gotta remember, he came in season 2, 3.
Yeah.
This is before the writers got the gay card, right?
Yeah, it's true.
And because he's written that way, he has to keep going that way.
Yeah, so it's yeah, I don't know if John comes back. I know Gina is there, because I remember how Gina leaves. And it's I think it's coming up soon.
Does Metaboy put down the peanut butter?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. Metaboy is always complaining. And he is the person with the second most episodes. So he's in it the entire time.
Oh, wow.
Him and Sipowitz are the only characters that I believe are from there to season 1 to season 12.
Does Metaboy have any of his own Bobby Simone Batman moments? Because there was one episode where he questions, like, maybe I wasn't supposed to be a detective. And then in the next episode, he gets, like, rough with the guy. He's like, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, the episode where he, like, challenges that one guy who... Oh, that was Michael Pena.
Yes, that's right.
Michael Pena. Called the woman, for lack of a better word, he called her a dyke because he's an ass.
In Spanish, though.
That was a good episode. Because it was Medavoy realizing the difference between being an asshole and being physical to jar somebody. That was Michael Pena. Because I remember I saw the name and I was like, what? And he looks the same age.
He does. He does. I remember. I was like, yeah, that's him.
Oh, man. It looked like he did Ant-Man like 2 weeks later. But yeah, Gina's definitely back.
Kirkendall's
back. I'm excited that you like Kirkendall. Because when they start using her in the stories more,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty sweet. Because they don't use her femininity. It's not like, oh, a woman is dealing with this. It's like, oh, one of the detectives is dealing with this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty, pretty rad.
Does Jerry come back?
I don't think so. I don't think we see Jerry anymore.
The only interest of the whole show. Out the window. I'm done.
Jerry. You will notice... If you haven't seen it yet, I guess Jimmy Smits did a movie in, like, South America in the off-season of NYPD Blue.
So you're going to say he's going to be darker.
He is very tan at the beginning of season 5. He's also thinner. He's also much thinner.
Must have got a hell of a sunburn at night.
Because I remember I saw, like, the preview image for season 5. He does not even look close to the same shade he was. I was like, holy crap.
Are you sure you're not the racist one? As opposed to Kyle?
It's a fact. I don't know why I wrote this question last. I probably should have wrote that last question last. It was about the promotion.
For Andy and...
For how Andy didn't get it and Simone did get it.
I kind of liked how Simone was trying to be nice about it.
Just realized we didn't talk about a major thing that happened in the season. Which we will after. But
I liked how... How Simone's trying to be nice about it, and then, like, Andy's kind of being a... He's just crying about it, and he's like, fine, I got the promotion. Because you have a problem. You have a drinking problem. And it's like, oh. And that kind of shut up Andy for a little bit, too.
And Simone literally told him, he put you up for it.
And that's the thing. Andy is like, oh, no, he didn't do anything. He's like, no, he did.
It's like, it wasn't his decision. He put you up for it. He wanted you to get the promotion. And Simone even mentioned to the... head, I don't know who it would be, the...
Like the chief of D's?
Commissioner or something?
Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah, like, I was like, I don't know, is it Commissioner Gordon?
Well, if he's running around as Batman, it's probably Commissioner Gordon.
But that, hey, my partner, he's the reason I got a lot of those clearances, you should... And he said, his time will come, we're focusing on you today. The thing we didn't talk about, and maybe it's a good thing to end on, did Jimmy Leary rape Russell? Christopher Maloney.
Yes.
From SVU as Jimmy Leary, one of the weirdest, dementedest characters of the season.
Yeah.
Did he date rape Russell? Because they don't answer it, really. Because the only person that gives a definitive answer is an unreliable narrator.
I'm going to say yes.
You're going to say he did it.
Because, I mean, the way he plays it off is like, oh, yeah, no, if I wanted to, I could. I'm just trying to show you how my power is. But I think that also plays a nod to Jimmy Salvo when he calls Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, I just want to call. I just want to show you my reach.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it could have been like that too, but nah, I'm pretty sure he raped her.
Okay.
I mean, there's no other reason why. They're being flirtatious. He's been like very forward and she's like, no. And she's been standoffish with the alcohol too because we know she's an alcoholic. He doesn't know that. He just thinks she's being prude. Why not just slip in a Mickey and then... There you go. What do you think?
I think he did too. Oh. I think he did, but they wrote it in a way that they have deniability.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's on TV, like, to heavily imply... Because I think they wanted the out to say, like, he didn't actually do it. But he is such a horrible person. And such a horrible person to Diane specifically... At random times. And he was so comfortable using a roofie. And he was comfortable taking her home like that and taking off her clothes. The idea that he gets her all the way there and goes, no, doesn't make sense to me.
And if he does say no, how much more sadistic is he?
Because, yeah, then... And then he... Because if he didn't do it, why did he leave her naked? Why did he go an entire day without letting her know, oh, by the way, I took you back to my place because you, like, passed out or you got sick, just to, like, let it go.
Mm-hmm.
He did all of the things that would tell me he probably did it, and then to just say, no, I didn't.
Right.
It also speaks to how good that actor is, Christopher Maloney, because he was killing it on SVU a couple years later.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's on Happy.
Which is a weird, like,
that show,
dichotomy of a...
Have you seen that show?
A little bit.
Yeah, I watched like two episodes of it, and I was like, if I had the time, this might be a show I'd watch, because it's really out there.
And you can binge it.
Yeah, I can. Thanks to the lovely world of Netflix.
Not a sponsor.
Not a sponsor at all. Speaking of non-sponsors, are you excited or disappointed that it looks like we're not getting a reboot, at least anytime soon?
From what I've seen so far, I'm okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's going to be like a Scrubs thing. Because in Scrubs, they had 8 seasons, finish on a high note, it was perfect.
Then they have that.
Then they did season 9, and it's just like, why do we even talk about this?
Mm-hmm.
Even Zach Braff has denied a season 9 on mm-hmm. Twitter. They're like, oh yeah, so the original ones were filmed in this resolution, so whenever you see that, if it's higher resolution, it's because they zoomed in on it. And then someone mentioned, oh, what about season 9? What's that? That was his response.
Community made that reference.
Yes.
About the last season of Scrubs. I'm very skeptical about it just because... I mean, we talked about it in a mini-episode with Papa Asher.
Yes.
For them to have the thought behind it of, we don't want to come out with it unless it's good.
That's a good stand.
But them saying that is also... they're the only person that has seen it. So they spin it however they want. They could have watched it and be like, wow, this is utter dog shit. Let's tell them it's pretty good, but it's not up to the NYPD Blue standard. So that when we do come out with a reboot in like 2 years,
mm-hmm.
they're going to think, wow, they worked really hard on this one.
And I mean, they can't reference Bochco for the running it, for any of it anymore.
No.
So.
Or Milch. Milch isn't coming back. He did the Deadwood movie. I don't think he's coming back.
Yeah. So, I mean, after doing all this, they do have some standards to stand up to when they can't go to the source of the writers and be like, hey, like, what do you think of this? They have to know, like, hey, this is going to be good. Let's make it good.
Yeah.
Or they make it and it's like, this is complete crap.
Yeah.
Let's not sully the name. Because a lot of studios, they'll just put it out because the fans want it. And then that's how you kill your fan base.
They see the name rather than the product itself. Like, that explains most of CBS. No offense. Where it's just like, hey, we're coming out with Magnum P.I. He doesn't look anything like the dude. And it's loosely based on that. But it's...
The techie sidekick mm-hmm. is like his granddaughter now. So it's like, yeah, you're just putting her in for sex appeal now. Just, yeah. That's not even the show.
Yeah, I would hope... They also included way too much Andy Sipowicz backstory, I think, because especially when you get to the end of NYPD Blue, like, it's the odyssey of Andy Sipowicz.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. So to include it like, oh, it's about Theo and he's just like Andy, it's like, that's cheap.
Yeah.
That's so cheap because Theo wouldn't act like Andy. He's not the same kind of person.
And if he was a good dad, he wouldn't let Theo go into the Force.
Yeah. So it's
especially after what happened with Andy Jr.
Oh, yeah. 110%. Well, we got a lot to look forward to.
We do.
We have... eight more seasons? to get through?
8 more.
I wish I remembered which season 9/11 happens in. Because that's an interesting season.
Okay.
I'll just let you know right now. Because it'll be 20 years before we get there. But... In the season when 9/11 happens, they had already produced episodes for the season. 9/11 happens, and then they had to rewrite a lot of stuff in between scenes of the episodes. And rewatching them later in life, it was like, I can tell, but they did a decent job.
Hmm.
Like, I can tell that that's what they did, but it's half decent.
Huh.
Anyway, thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Kirk.
For talking about another season of NYPD Blue Balls.
Of course.
Or NYPD Blue. This is the show.
Well, I've listened to both and watched. Listened and watched to both.
So it's Here's to another season.
And fuck Kyle.
Oh, he's not racist. He was just tired.
A likely excuse.
Oh, goodness.
Thank you once again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls, and thank you, Ben, for another Binging with Ben about Season 4 of NYPD Blue. If you want to know when new episodes are coming out, you can always check us out on Asher Brothers Podcast on Instagram. You can check us out at Asher Bros Pod on Twitter. We usually just post when we have new episodes coming out, but we will talk about the show with you. I am not 100% sure when a new episode will come out, because it is the holiday season, and me and Kyle are both very busy, so hopefully we can get Season 5, Episode 1 out to you in 2 weeks, but I'm not going to make any promises. If you need to know where to watch the best show ever, NYPD Blue, we mentioned it in this episode, you could check out Hulu and Amazon Prime. They have every single episode up for streaming. I want to thank you again for listening, and if you have a moment, please go rate and review the show where you're listening to it. It helps people see it, and thanks again. Have a good one. Happy holidays. Be good to yourself and each other. Peace.